sometimes the ideal turns to the real, and people don't always get along. As we look at the Old Testament and we see how strife breaks out and you're wanting to go at each other. So it really saddens me. It's one of the worst wake-up calls I've ever had when I see the body of Christ striving against one another. But you know what? We've got to live through that. And we can't let the weakness of faith of others affect us in our faith. And that's what we're going to see here with Gideon.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 8.
Blessed because we came. You will be blessed because we came.
When we come into chapter 8, we have to look at a couple verses in chapter 7. Because what is happening, great victory has taken place over the Midianites. But now there's jealousy. Now there's strife. I think one of the sad things, and I've seen it to me when I first got saved, I was so idealistic. So idealistic because the world had, you know, I'm sure it's taken a toll on you, took a toll on me. I mean, even family ties, toll, you know. And I thought, Christianity, Christ, the Bible, perfect. Ideal. But you find sometimes the ideal turns to the real, and people don't always get along. And sometimes as we look at the Old Testament and we see how strife breaks out and you're winning, you're beating up the enemy, and yet within the nations of Israel, you're wanting to go at each other. Yes, they do. And that's what we're going to see tonight. And unfortunately, that happens in the body of Christ. It's a horrible thing. You don't want it to happen to you and you be the cause of that. You never want that. Because we will stand before the Lord. And the Lord will, I know our sins are forgiven, but there are rewards. You see, if we're hard to live with and we stir up strife and contention and bitterness and we're jealous and envious and that kind of thing, and we're just hard to get along with, well, okay. I mean, you're saved not by works of the flesh, but by faith in Christ. But the point is, there are rewards. There are things that we receive because of our ministry that we do in the body of Christ and glorifying the Lord. So it really saddens me. It's one of the worst wake-up calls I've ever had when I see the body of Christ striving against one another. But you know what? We've got to live through that. And we can't let the weakness of faith of others affect us in our faith. And that's what we're going to see here with Gideon. Now, in chapter 7, in verse 24 and 25, as we'll go on and get into chapter 8, because here's where you find the contention takes place, it says, and all the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they captured the two leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and they killed Zeb at the winepress of Zeb, while they pursued Midian, and they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon from across the Jordan. So it seems like all things are good at this point. No, they're not. The men of Ephraim, they're going to be contending with Gideon over the war, over the battle. Now, Israel's winning the battle. They're winning the war. You see, but they didn't come out. The Ephraimites didn't. When there was a general call, when that went out, You see, now they're coming and you're going to see they're saying, why didn't you call us? They want the spotlight. They wanted a personal invitation to the battle. It wasn't good enough just to make the general call. But notice what Gideon does. He diffuses the hostile situation. We need to be peacemakers and not be on the warpath with everyone. You see, the Bible tells us a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. The fruit of the Spirit, we know that, is love, but some of the manifestations of love is patience and gentleness and self-control. Oh, self-control. But Ephraim didn't have that. They were going after their brothers in the Lord. You see, Ephraim was a brother to Manasseh, and Gideon was from the tribe of Manasseh. And if you remember, Manasseh was the firstborn. He should have the birthright. He should have the preeminence. But remember when Joseph brought his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to Jacob? Jacob crossed hands, and he said that Manasseh will serve Ephraim. So Ephraim, he had the birthright. He had that preeminent position. It went to him. But now he feels slighted. Wait a minute, Ephraim? Ephraim is winning the battle. Ephraim is getting the glory. Hey, I'm the firstborn. You know, so he felt slighted. He didn't get his recognition. And so there's where the contention takes place. It's always usually envy, it's pride, it's jealousy. And so we find, we'll take portions at a time. It's quite a long chapter. So let's go from verse 1 down to verse 3. Then the men of Ephraim said to him, to Gideon, what is this thing you have done to us, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian? And they contended with him vigorously. But he said to them, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? So he uses a great illustration here, and we'll explain it. God has given, verse 3, God has given the leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, into your hands. And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. Now, Ephraim really was out of control. It was military pride. We've got a big army. We've got courageous soldiers. What is this that you didn't call us? The Bible tells us that a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. If you hang out with an angry man, you're going to be angry like them. If you want to try to calm their anger, they're just going to do it again. You see, the Bible says the slow to anger pacifies contention. Some people just live for contention. They're just contentious people. They're always bringing up things that are just negative. And it's almost like they get on this rant, or they get it. Maybe it's not a rant, but just maybe it's a, you know, an undercurrent, you know, of controversy to stir things up. Notice it says they contended vigorously. In other words, it was hostile. Literally, the word means to become an adversary. They were becoming an adversary of their brethren. How horrible that is. How horrible that is when people in the church become adversarial toward one another. That's not the Lord. The Lord doesn't approve that. Proverbs tells us in chapter 4, verse 16, the wicked cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are deprived of sleep unless they make someone stumble and fall. That's what contention does. That's what being an adversary does. But notice, instead of rejoicing in the victory, you'd think that they would be rejoicing. They pick a fight. They could pick a fight because they didn't get special favor in this battle. You know, they're jealous that Manasseh, got the praise. And it didn't go to the first, Ephraim. I'm the first. I know I wasn't born first, but Grandpa, you know, he laid his hands on me, and I'm preeminent. You know, and there's where the jealousy comes. That status of preeminence and holding on to that. More concerned about personal glory than national security. That's sad. You know, Pastor Raul Ries, good friend of mine, love Raul. And Raul, in one of his sermons, I don't know if it was at a pastor's conference, this is many, many years ago, he had one of the guys in the church preach for him because he was away on a missions trip. And after the guy preached, you know, back then it was the cassette tapes that you would sell and all. Those are the little, you know, tapes with a, you know, anyway. It records the message for those that are younger than 60 years old. But no, it's a, and the guy went to the guy that was recording and selling the tapes, and he wanted to know if he sold more tapes than Raul. And Raul, you know, it got back to Raul. You know, and stuff like that, you know, when you want preeminence, when you want to outdo your pastor, when you want to outdo the next guy, that is sad. Because you want to raise up people that are as good or better than you. But if you've got such a problem with ego and you've got to hold them down, you know, you got to keep them lower than you, that's a problem. Not a problem with them, but a problem with you and a problem with the ministry. Wait a minute, it's not your ministry, it's God's ministry. And so vigorously contending with them because you're now got the preeminence because you were blessed, you know, over Manasseh, that's a sad thing. You see, they were jealous that they didn't lead. They didn't get the honor. We wanted to lead. Well, wait a minute, the call went out. You didn't come when the call went out. Obviously, they'd heard about the call. They were offended that it wasn't a personal invitation. It wasn't personal. You know, it was general. You see, and I'm not going to point the finger at everybody else because I see myself big time in this. Big time. Because I would always look in the whole Calvary Chapel, many, many pastors, I would always look for my name to be called. Bill, come on up here, you know. Bill, do this. You know, I am so guilty of that. But you see, when we esteem ourselves, when we need the personal invitation, when we're looking for our name to be called, instead of just simply responding to the call to serve the Lord, you know, not looking for the accolades and the pats on the back. You see, that was a problem here with Ephraim. Now, the interesting thing is, and I know in my own life, why? The interesting thing is God's dealing. He's dealing with Ephraim. He's dealing with you. He's dealing with me. And you go, well, why? You know, why all that? Well, maybe God, in his mercy, was saving them from personal humiliation, possibly personal humiliation, being rejected from the fight because of cowardice and carelessness. Remember the first 22,000 that went back, if you're afraid and fearing, go back home? How many do you think might have been in the Ephraimites? They didn't know. They might have been very humiliated. And then what about the carelessness, you know, as they go down to drink water and they put their face in the water and not really being aware, just careless. The enemy could be around. And 31,700 went home. They didn't go into battle. I wonder how many God knew that would be of the Ephraimites. And maybe he was just saving them from personal humiliation. Maybe he just saves you and me from personal humiliation by not putting us out there too soon, you know, and you know, doing a thing that we can't do. Now, when the danger's passed, oh, they're very brave. Danger pretty much is over. So they're kind of angry about their reputation with the rest. You know, we weren't called. We didn't go to battle. The Bible tells us, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. And I don't really think they were thinking soberly. Maybe they didn't consider how many went home and how many of them that could have been. So, you see, maybe God was just rescuing them from that personal humiliation. I don't know. Could be. Me and my wife, when we like to maybe watch dogs on YouTube, you know, funny dogs and different things with dogs. You know, they're just kind of cute and funny. And a lot of them mimic our dog, Duke. Rebellious dogs. But they have one video where there's two dogs. They're just going at it with each other. But there's a fence. And they're going at it. They're going at it. And then it shows the fence is drawn away. And then they all turn and they leave. They're not as brave as they want to appear to be. I think maybe the Ephraimites are not quite as brave as they would like to be or they think they are. You see, Gideon, he didn't try to justify himself why he didn't do this. But what he does do is he pacifies. He pacifies the Ephraimites. And he doesn't humiliate them by saying what I said. Maybe you guys would have been humiliated. Look at all the guys that went home. He didn't do that. But he pointed out the positive. Pointed out the positive that they did. And he also downplayed himself and what they did. You know, what an amazing thing to bring peace into that situation. He's basically saying, you know, when you go into the vineyard and your grapes, you harvest your grapes, there are always those that fall to the ground that don't go into the basket. He said, those that fall to the ground that, you know, the indigent and the widows and orphans, they will pick up, you know, because that's what they would do. They would allow them to pick them up. Those are better than our choicest vineyard. When we just take ours and put it in, yours are so much better than ours. And their anger subsided because of that. You know, that was good. Basically saying, you know, we only started the battle. We just started the battle. But look at you. You pursued, you caught, you killed the leaders, Oreb and Zeb. And so what a way to calm the situation. Now, you're going to find it doesn't turn out so good with in a couple chapters as we go on. And we're going to look at one that will do this, the same thing. And you're going to find they don't have the same kind of answer there. Of course, Gideon's off the scene, but we see that it doesn't work out so well for them. Now, he didn't use anger against anger. I mean, sometimes when people get angry with me or they criticize something or do this, I want to get in their face. I want to treat them like they treat me. Okay, oh, you want to go to battle? Okay. You know, but I don't want to. If I do, then I feel condemned. I feel bad afterwards. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, but what Gideon does is he seeks after peace. Peace with those, you know, that he has to contend with. The Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. He was slow to anger is better than the mighty. You see, one of the things that we realize and we find out as we grow in our Christian walk and we mature in our Christian walk, the greater God uses you, the greater testing of patience and pride will come upon you until it's drained out of you. That's why God allows that. Oh, you'd hope it'd be drained out of the Ephraimites, but it takes time. And it's only going to be when we get in heaven where it'll all be gone. But you see, he keeps draining. And that's what he's doing here with them, dealing with them. Well, we'll go quite far here, verse 4 to verse 17. So they have it on the overhead, or turn in your Bible, you can go follow along with me. Verse 4, Judges 8. Then Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary yet pursuing. And he said to the men of Succoth, please give loaves of bread to the people who are following me, for they are weary. And I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian. And the leaders of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hands that we should give bread to your army? And Gideon said, all right, when the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hands, then I will thrash your bodies with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Now, Obviously, he's going to whip them, or he's going to have them roll around on these, you know, these prickly things, and he's going to basically discipline them for what they're doing. And he says in verse 8, because they're really doing it against the Lord. This is the Lord's army. God has chosen this army. So you have to realize it's a big thing. And your brethren saying that to you when you're winning the battle? Well, you haven't won all of it yet. Verse 8, and when he went up from there to Penuel and spoke similarly to them, the men of Penuel answered him just as the men of Succoth had answered. And he spoke also to the men of Penuel, saying, when I return safely, I will tear down this tower. Probably they boasted in the tower that they had there. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Kekar, and their armies with them, about 15,000 men, all who were left of the entire army of the sons of the east. For the fallen were 120,000 swordsmen. And Gideon went up by the way of those who lived in tents on the east of Noboth and Jokbeth, and attacked the camp when the camp was unsuspecting. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them and captured the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Verse 13, then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle by the ascent of Hiras, and he captured a youth from Succoth and questioned him. Then the youth wrote down for him the princes of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. And he came to the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, concerning whom you taunted me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hand, and we should give bread to your men who are weary? Verse 16, and he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and he disciplined the men of Succoth with them, and he tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. Probably some of these were the outspoken ones, and maybe even the leaders, to whom much is given, much is required. So maybe these ones that he killed were the leaders that really influenced the people. But notice Gideon, he's not content with 120,000 that have died. He doesn't want partial victory.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 8. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 8. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.